your sheriff's department. The sheriff has declared an emergency.
You saw the creatures.
They were alive.
Alive?
Yeah! Hit it, DJ Chocolate Thunder!
I'm gonna rub this right in your face. On your mark, get set.
Look at all that human hair.
Reindeer, the time. Do you believe in the boogeyman?
Radio, the world's original all horror broadcast.
You descend into the pit of hell as you share their horror.
Welcome to Remorgue Radio. Thanks for tuning in to the really big show. Oh yes, it's the world's original all-horror broadcast. And me, I'm always here. I'm your host, Tomb Dragomir.
Liz, look how white and pale he is, like a ghost. And his eyes are red.
Yeah, isn't it cool? It's all makeup, part of his act.
This week on the broadcast.
It's sort of removing this idea that death is the end, or that it's locked into some cliche that it has to be presented in a certain way. And so the idea is to give life to it, to something that's normally would represent lifelessness.
Conceptual artist Chris Cooksey joins us. Yeah. Our blood-spattered guide chats with producer Trevor Taminski about Remorgue's Hymns from the House of Horror, Volume 2.
Ooh. 20 original hits, original stars. LP, $5.99. Tape, $6.99.
The caustic critics are taking on Julian Grant's The Defiled. And we've got terror tunes from Cold Blue Rebels, Church for Sinners, Corpus, Ghost, plus tons more fun to come on your home for horror rot. And roll. Remorgue. Let's get it going with Caustic 666 on the crucifix. Hey, baby, let's go.
You're sit. I'm a crucifix. Yeah, my body's burning. Body's burning. You're sit. I'm a crucifix. My body's yearning. Body's yearning. You're sit. I'm a crucifix.
Yeah, my body's burning. Body's burning. Your sin, sin, sin.
and repeat.
Hi, this is Rodrigo Godino from the 2006 Festival of Fear, and you are listening to Rumorg Radio.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine?
This is our first glimpse of the creature. Originally, this creature was a young boy in a wheelchair, but he kept getting more and more grotesque. He became hunchbacked, and his skin was sort of peeling and weird. And the next thing you know, he had a vagina face, and he had a big penis, and the wheelchair was gone.
Tonight with summer.
And you're listening to Rumorg Radio.
All right. Just stop the f***ing spitting.
All
right, so first of all, what is the state of the Church of Satan? I was going to ask you about Wes Craven, and now I'm ashamed to.
Les Messman style.
Possibly the Antichrist.
Like a zombie character on Sesame Street.
All of a sudden, it seems so irrelevant.
Continue.
I speak nothing but the fucking English language. And if that's infamous, then
tough titters.
All right, this is feedback. My guest this week is artist Chris Cooksey. He's been profiled in the pages of Rumorg magazine a few times, going back to issue 77 in a great little piece penned by our very own Monica Kubler. If you're not familiar with his work, check out his website at www.cooksey.com. It's absolutely unbelievable stuff. To give you an idea of what he does, here's how Guillermo del Toro describes the work. A post-industrial Rococo master, Chris Cooksey obsessively arranges characters and architecture in asymmetric compositions with an exquisite sense of drama.
I can really relate to that.
Instead of stones and shells, he uses screaming plastic soldiers, miniature engine blocks, towering spires and assorted debris to form his landscapes. The political, spiritual, and material that conflict within these shrines is enacted under the calm gaze of remote deities and august statuary. Cooksey manages to evoke at once a sanctum and a mausoleum for our suffocated spirit. All right, well, first of all, your sculptures have such a unique and distinctive quality, from their construction to the themes to the materials that you use. Can you give me a brief idea of how all these elements evolved and came together in your work?
Yeah, I don't think there's really ever any formula to it. It just sort of happens. And I think if I ever impose any kind of ego towards these things, then I get into trouble. And so it seems as though I have bit of a spiritual encounter with them, and that I have to sort of let them evolve on their own. I think it just is beauty in itself, and it happens very well for me, and I'm very privileged and excited that other people enjoy it.
So when did you first start doing sculptures of this nature?
In 1995, I did my first one, and it was out of just the result of having a lot of these model parts and collective things and figurines, holiday little bric-a-brac, and I just had the impulse, and I had some skulls as well. I had a deer skull and some cattle jaws, and I made this beautiful arrangement, and it just kind of happened out of thin air. And I was in art school at the time, and it was really well received, though I was going to art school for painting rather than anything with 3D art. And so it was how that began. And I did a few more over the next few years, but I didn't really focus on it because painting was the degree that I was seeking. But in 2004, I had a friend of mine who encouraged me to do them again. And so I did a few more. Then around 2006, I started reaching out and contacting galleries, and there was a big response there. So I've done them solidly ever since. So each year I've done numerous amounts, as much as I could.
All right, well, let's talk about the monochromatic color palette for the work, because everything appears as though it's marble relief or the bleached out color of bones. So what inspires this use of, or rather absence of, color?
Yeah, it's the idea to give a weathered stone or marble an aged look like that. The inspiration, obviously, is from classical art, from Greco-Roman architecture and statues. There are some pieces that have the presence of more of a reddish or rust tones. So I use that sparingly. I don't want to ever go overboard. I think it's enough as it is, as a visual texture and its complexity. That alone is enough for the viewer to be entertained. And I think if color got too out of hand, it would be probably too much and too much for the senses.
Well, that's definitely an interesting quality of the work, is that you're taking objects from the post-industrial world, but presenting them in a way to appear like classical art. So it does create an interesting contrast.
Yeah, I would agree. It is kind of conceptual that these things are mass-produced on very numerous amount, but yet I have taken them and removed that identity and gave it a more unique, one-of-a-kind appeal. And that certainly is in contrast to the art aesthetics and virtue of the classical world, where, you know, it was very esteemed to create unique works of art. And so it's kind of robbing from the industrial world, but giving a classical twist to it as well. I think that I'd like to be known for creating this aesthetic that borrows from the old and the new.
But obviously bones and skeletal remains feature into the work quite prominently. Quite often you'll have a skull as the centerpiece of the sculpture, with even bone fragments growing outwards. So what compels you to use bones in this fashion?
I don't think it's really anything direct, but you know, you could think that death becomes us all, and we're all brought together in a common ground through that, and our skeletal framework is the same no matter what, between us all, between our differences, or no matter where we live in the world or the color of our skin. That is a marrying thing that brings us all together. And I think that the way I portray these is that there is the evidence of life in them. It's sort of removing this idea that death is the end, or that it's locked into some cliche that it has to be presented in a certain way. But so the idea is to give life to it, to something that's normally would represent lifelessness.
You told me in an email you were going to try to be funny.
Oh, I got a live one here.
Yeah, well, I'm trying, but you know, these are very serious questions.
I'm going to run the remainder of my interview with Chris this week on the Roomorg podcast. Also, Mr. Cooksey has just released the first book of his work entitled Divination and Delusion. Check out his website for more details. And for our Toronto listeners, you'll get a chance to see a couple of his pieces up close when Chris comes to town on May the 4th for a book signing. For more information, check out the Roomorg blog at www.roo-morg.com.
Them bones, them bones, them dancing bones, them bones, them bones, them dancing bones, them bones, them bones, them dancing bones, doing the skeleton dance.
Roomorg Radio.
Hey ho, have you heard about a show called Roomorg Radio? We're way to the twilight zone.
Radio for cools, not radio.
Radio for ghouls, not radio for chones.
Totally stunning.
What have we got here? A fucking comedian, private joker. I admire your honesty. Hell, I like you. You can come over to my house and fuck my sister.
Here's the new Jacobin Club, Private Hell. Stay tuned for Shannon, sir. Yes, sir.
Into the wee midnight they ride. Flee from the judgment by God's anointed one. But tears boil of hate, a nation left to die by the red rising sun.
I got your name. I got your ass. You will not laugh. You will not cry. You will learn by the numbers. I will teach you. Now get up. Get on your feet. You at best unfuck yourself, or I will unscrew your head and get it on your neck.
Sir, that's sir.
Private Joker, why did you join my bloody cult?
Sir, kill, sir.
So you're a killer.
Sir, yes, sir.
Let me see your war face.
I saw a kingdom fall today, like a statue crumbling down.
Come on.
right, kids, it's time to see what's moving and shaking and quaking throughout the Terror Nation. It's time to find out what's happening with Shannon. Hey, Shannon, what's happening?
Well, it looks like Donald Trump is going to be running for president. Maybe Toom could run for prime minister. At least that way he could invite Donald over and find out if that really is his hair. It's awful, isn't it? Hey, everyone, I'm Shannon, and I've got what's happening horror-wise from around the world. Rue Morgue and Sushi Typhoon team up for Splatter Matters. It's a benefit tour, a multi-city benefit film tour in support of recovery efforts focusing on the devastation of the earthquake in Japan. It starts this weekend in New York and stops in cities around North America. For info on the tour and ticket prices and dates, look for Splatter Matters on Facebook. Shockstock, Canada's newest horror and subculture show, is this weekend at the Centennial Hall in London, Ontario. Film screenings, a dealer room, and a tape swap are all a part of the weekend, along with guests and a short film competition. For a full guest list and ticket info, check out shock-stock.com. May 14th to the 15th, it's Creation Entertainment's Weekend of Horrors at the Marriott Hotel at the Los Angeles Airport. Guests include John Carpenter, Robert Englund, and Lamberto Bava. That's just a few of the names that'll be there. Tickets start at just 20 bones. For more details, head to creationent.com. Now, if you know something that's happening horror-wise from around the world and you want everyone to know about it, it's easy. Just send me an email, shannon@roomorgradio.com.
Hey, thanks, Shannon. That was actually so informative. I had to push some information out of my brain just to fit that in.
You betcha, you fat bastard. Is that what it worked? Oh, I just blew snot out of my nose.
No! Okay, we're gonna need some tissues in here, stat. Here's former bad seed Hugo Race with the Remorgue Blues. Stay tuned.
And the sheets are ripped and torn. Sweetheart, is it a sin to slide my hands across your skin? Don't leave me. Do you ever love somebody who fell out of love with you? Until I came upon a wild slum flower, wide some wheels headed for the underground. While taking in my pocket, sweet desperation in my smile, I died. Who fell out of love with you? She never loved me. I never knew. Crack a gag in the can. She ain't never coming back to you. Set on fire a strangely beautiful thing. Give me a milk white hand. Come here, look into my eyes and rise. At this sugar glaze, my face is built in stone. I don't know where I am, and the plantations are on strike. Oh, I'll. Wow.
Cerberus Urungus of the mighty Gwar, and you, stupid human, are listening to Rue Morgue Radio.
The night is my domain.
Hello, I'm Lisa Ladussard. I'm your blood-spattered guide to music on Rue Morgue Radio.
Hello.
This week in the studio, I have Rue Morgue colleague Trevor Tominski. He is the associate editor of Rue Morgue, and he is right now also the producer of something we like to call hymns from the House of Horror.
Listen to them. Children of the night. What music they make.
Welcome, Trevor. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me on the program again.
Thanks for making the big trek from your office into the back room.
Yeah, I liked it when you sent me an email from the back room. That was good.
Yeah. So tell us about the success of the first Hymns from the House of Horror compilation that came out last year.
Well, when I first came on to Rue Morgue full-time last year, one of my charges from Rodrigo was to work on a musical project like this, and we didn't really know what to expect. We didn't know if people were going to be interested in this or not. It got downloaded 20,000 times, more than 20,000 times in the 3 months that it was offered. So we thought, well, we're onto something here. We should do this again and try and get some bigger bands. And it's hosted by Tomb Dragomir again, and also includes four fake grindhouse trailers that RoomWorks staff and some friends put together.
From the makers of flesh-eating cannibal carnivores and retirement community by the cemetery comes Zombies of the Dead.
I want to know exactly what the hell's going on here.
Hell? That's exactly what's going on.
Zombies of the Dead. They're unstoppable. And the only way to end the terror is to find a way to stop them.
There's 20 songs, and I think it tops out at just about 80 minutes, so it's going to fill up that blank CD.
The sound of the compilation, musically, is diverse. So you've got metal on there, you've got psychobilly on there, you've got a band I love, like Timber Timber on there, who does, like, gothic folk. Was there a vision for the sound of the compilation? What were you going for?
For me, it always comes down to the song. Personally, my interest in music is varied. We asked the bands this time to give us maybe more than one song to choose from, and so it always came down to what was the best song that they had to offer. And, you know, we just tried to sequence the record so that it made sense, I suppose, and that's helped out by the grindhouse trailers too, that kind of bridge the gap in some way between the different voices and the different styles that are going on.
Now, I'm excited to see things like Timber Timber on here and the Young Werewolves and Squid Lid and some of the artists that I've had on the show. But there are also some groups on here I've never heard of, like this one with a great name here. What is it? Black Moth Super Rainbow? What the hell is that?
Well, you know, even though I'm, you know, the supervisor of this project, it still is a very, you know, like everything at RoomWorks, a collaborative effort. Black Moth Super Rainbow was actually a suggestion by Dave Daniloff, who turned me on to that band. And, you know, then there's bands like Spooklight, that was Dave Alexander's suggestion. And yeah, you're going to have to check out the comp to see what these bands are all about. It's there's a lot of really catchy songs on this collection.
Now, one of the names that stood out for me when looking at the track list was Gwar, who are a fairly big name to go along with their big costumes.
A band that's been described by their manager as a cross between Kiss, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, the World Wrestling Foundation, and The Simpsons. To me, they really look like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on LSD, but the name is Gwar, and wherever they perform, thousands of kids flock to their concerts hoping to be dragged on stage and sprayed with blood. I mean, the whole thing, I don't get it.
Are they kind of like the Tom Cruise?
I'm in love with Katie Holmes! I'm in love with Katie Holmes! I'm not gay!
A big get for the Hymns compilation. What are some of the real exclusive things that you're stoked about?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Gwar is, of course, you know, synonymous with horror and monsters, and so we're really fortunate to get a track from them. We've got some other great exclusive tracks too. The Darkest of the Hillside Thickets. We have a track from Creeps, whose last album we named The Best of 2010. That's completely previously unreleased.
Clearly, there's a ton of great stuff on here. How exactly do people go about getting this compilation at exactly no charge to them?
That's right. It is absolutely free.
Hello.
Starting on May 1st, just go to roomorg.com and there will be plenty of banners pointing you in the right direction to download this 80-minute horror free-for-all that comes with artwork that you can print out, including disc labels and the whole thing.
It's mental.
Go to the Hymns 2 Facebook page, like us, and hopefully we can build momentum to, you know, keep doing this bigger and better every year.
So we're going to play a track from the compilation here by Toronto's Corpus. Blood Will Have Blood from Corpus. Tell us about the show that's happening here in Toronto tonight.
It's best, actually, that you probably don't know much about them.
You can't really say it's a show. It's past that.
Not sure what you're seeing exactly, but you can't take your eyes off of it.
And it's just unlike anything that you're ever going to see. I mean, you know, even the track Blood Will Have Blood, the idea of blood bleeding is great. And he's got a new album, and there's a documentary that's also going to be screened. You're going to get an advanced preview of that. That's about Corpus, called Surrender to the Passion. And he has a new album out called Honey and Locusts, and Hymns 2 is fortunate enough to have this advanced sneak peek from it.
So thank you, Trevor, for coming by and giving us the rundown on the Hymns. Why don't you throw us out to the track?
All right. Well, this is Corpus from his new album, Honey and Locusts, and Hymns 2. This is Blood Will Have Blood.
Blood. Blood. Blood. Blood. Blood. Blood.
They call that music?
Give me a good bone-chilling tune any day of the week.
Now piss off, Zachary. No one invited you anyway.
Much better, much better, don't you think?
It's Church for Sinners in the Graveyard on Rewind Radio. Stay tuned, we've got the Caustic Critics coming up right after the film.
What's the point of this experiment? Find your long-lost remnant of a lover that you left so long ago with both hands on a Ouija board. Who were you waiting for? The resurrection of a love-grown cold in the bitter night under the glare of a streetlight.
We're on the graveyard.
We'll dance tight and smile like you're in the fear into the night. Sometimes we smile so bright, our faces say for days. Sometimes the tears fell down like rain. And when the dark clouds lifted, we could see 4 miles from our rooftop right away. Innocence died. So did you find the ghost you're looking for? Won't you tell me, baby, but please don't cry. It's only dying, love, and try your pretty eyes. It doesn't hurt a bit to get used to it. Just tell me that you wait for me. Leave your painful memories in the graveyard. We'll have silence for like you in the bed. Say goodnight. Sometimes we smile so bright, our faces say for days. Sometimes the tears fell down like rain.
I am Macarena Gomez, the star of Sex Killer. If you don't listen to Rumok Radio, I will decapitate you and keep your head in my fridge.
The Caustic Critics. Critics.
Controversial. Unrelenting. It's brutal. It's nasty.
Sensational.
The worst of the worst.
Offend everyone equally.
Bowling.
They're real.
This stuff shit scrapes off the bottom of its shoes.
They're mean.
So what was the actor's name?
Oh, God, what a plank he is.
They're here.
Are you ready? It's time for the Caustic Critics.
All right, this is Feedback.
And this is Last Chance Lance.
Now, this week, we're going to do something a little different.
How different?
I said a little. Pay attention. Because we only get to review one movie every 2 weeks, we have to be discriminating, so we don't really get to veer off often into the world of the DIY horror film. Thank God.
Exactly.
No.
This week we're going to make an exception. We're going to review The Defiled.
Oh, yes.
By a Canadian director named Julian Grant.
Now, a lot of people may not recognize the name Julian Grant, but years ago he did the TV series RoboCop Prime Directive, which I actually really liked a lot.
You are a man, not a machine. You're a cop. I'm a cop. My name is Alex Murphy.
And he's done a few, like, straight-to-cable movies, like Shannon Tweed, erotic thrillers.
Elektra.
He's actually done one of those. And Airborne, starring Steve Guttenberg, which I believe I actually saw a 35mm print of at the Bloor Cinema as part of the 98 Fantasia Festival in Toronto, where Julian Grant was one of the programmers.
I wouldn't brag about seeing Steve Guttenberg in anything, let alone a 35mm print.
And just if my memory is right, that's just a bizarre fucking screening.
Yeah, because even in 1998, Steve Guttenberg was not... I think he was doing movies basically for food.
Howdy! No one's allowed in here. Listen, I got a problem, Chief.
It's Commandant.
Commandant, I'm sorry. Is that your fish?
No, it belongs to a friend.
Very pretty.
What do you want?
I want out of here, right now.
Out of this office?
No, out of the academy.
Well, that's no problem. You can just quit.
I can't quit.
Of course you can.
But Julian Grant, like you said before, he's a jack of all trades. He dabbles in all sorts of different bits, you know, festival programmer. But he's a real showman. He was doing all sorts of interesting stuff at that time. He had, like, opera singers on the marquee of the Cinema.
Well, I remember him and I have a connection because many, many years ago, 1993 or 94, he shot a little movie called Creep in my bar. Mm-hmm. And he was just, it was really
tight.
Yeah, it was a great movie. Guy meets girl, guy kills girl, girl reanimates, comes back for guy. The same old love story, you know. But he was one of these guys who was just, he used to host a little cable show about horror.
Sinister Cinema,
I believe that was the title. And he was just one of those guys that I could just go to and say, you know, Grant, there's this thing that's been bugging me since I was a kid. I have this little image from this movie. This is it. What's the movie? And he would just come back with, go, oh, yeah, that's 5 million miles to Earth, Quartermass in the Pit, whatever.
Quatermass in the Pit.
Whatever.
Quartermass.
British schlocky grossness.
He obviously didn't school you that well.
Oh, if it wasn't Tom Baker, I can't talk about it.
Quatermass, the scientist, who comes face to face with 5 million years of terror.
Rooney, it's Barbara. She's the one. Get down here, quick.
But his latest is called The Defiled.
What I really liked about this movie is that it's we've had so much do-it-yourself zombie movies that come at us over the last two decades that all suck. This one kind of turns the genre on its ass a little bit by showing a post-apocalyptic zombie movie that's shot from the perspective of the zombie.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're not quite zombies. They're sort of like radioactive, cannibalistic ghouls, zombie-esque, but they have bodily functions. They drink water. They have sex. They produce offspring. It's kind of bizarre.
We don't know exactly what's happened to this world. For what we get to see of it, it's kind of destroyed and decrepit, and people are infected, and the regular humans have to wear masks. But these zombies still have this sentience to them. And the main character, and the guy's name is Yarg or whatever, he has a family that get infected by more radioactivity, I guess, and die. But his wife was pregnant, and he's got to, like, eviscerate her to get the baby out. And then the rest of the movie is spent with him trying to care for this baby. Very strange.
And he hooks up with a human woman.
And there's no dialogue throughout movie, which is interesting.
And it's almost black and white. It's not quite black and white. It's a monochromatic color palette. All the colors sucked out except for this, like, weird blue tinge.
That's
but
right.
But it's sort of, definitely, it's trying to go for a kind of Night of the Living Dead aesthetic.
Exactly.
The main ghoul is clearly modeled after Bill Hinesman from Night of the Living Dead. Oh, you're rolling your eyes because you wanted to make that
observation. What I was going to say, though, was that in my mind, this was like a movie that could have been happening parallel to Night of the Living Dead, the original.
Right.
It's something that the zombies were doing before they attacked the house that the main characters were in.
Exactly. Now you're stealing my insights. The movie kind of opens with that sort of vibe. It's interesting.
And one thing I got to say is that the sets that they found, the locations for this,
amazing.
Absolutely amazing. Just these rundown buildings just dripping with decay. And honestly, Julian, great job. Whoever found those sets for you, great job.
I like how you call out the director's name. Julian, like in your mind, you're fantasizing he's going to listen to the review.
No, it's true.
You just got your tongue up the guy's bum so hideously.
When I was six, my father took me on a picnic. That was a gay old time. Oh, I ate my share of wieners that day.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Queer. Queer.
A couple of disclaimers here.
Oh, no, of course. Here's Stuart.
Yeah, I have to reset the balance after you so willfully and gleefully tickled his sphincter with your proboscis. A couple of distracting elements. One, there's a digital monster that appears out of nowhere, some sort of like mutant thing that jumps on one of the characters. It's like three shots.
What?
Yeah.
No, I don't recall that at all.
It's in there.
In the same movie, yeah. The Defiled.
If you blink, you miss it.
I must have blinked.
I imagine they probably had a lot more, and they're like, oh, this looks so crappy. It's almost like the special needs children who do the special effects for the Asylum movies. If they were to give birth to, if they were to have a zombie love child and give birth to an offspring, imagine that offspring growing up to do special effects. That's who they got to do the special effects.
I don't recall
the
that.
The compositing is mental.
It's mental.
It must have been so bad that I've erased it from my memory.
It shouldn't have been there at all. It really distracts
from
the
movie. You
have
to show it to me after we're done the review.
I will. Okay. And then the second thing is, the main ghoul, his haircut is so beautifully manicured. It's like he just got out of the barber shop.
Well, I think you hit on this before. When I first saw the movie and I saw him in the opening scene, I thought he was the guy from the Living Dead movies and they were doing a thing with him. So maybe.
Right, so maybe.
You got something to explain there,
One man's
Julia.
Like incredible oversight is another man's beautiful, well-wrought homage.
There you go.
The Defiled is distributed by Chemical Bin Entertainment. For more information, go to the website at www.thedefiled.com. And Julian, if you are listening, I want to thank you for that angst poster you gave me after the 98 Toronto Fantasia Festival. I still cherish it fondly.
It's mental.
He probably does not remember that at all. But if you are listening, Julian, you still need to clear up that bar tab with me. I know you're making money because you've made some movies and you're in Gary, Indiana. So how about getting on that sport?
Until next time, this is Feedback.
And this is Last Chance Lance.
Time, weather, and...
Always!
Okay,
Friday Night Lover's Lounge, so pick up the phone and dial 666-1313. Our request lines are open.
Cold Blue Rebels, Zombie Love.
You're turning blue and you're starting to rot.
tuning in to the world's original all kooky, all spooky, super weird beard, all horror broadcast.
They cut my beard and forced me to eat it.
I've been your host, Toon Dragomir. You can find me on Twitter at Toon Dragomir and check out Toon TV on YouTube. Yep, it's YouTube/Toon Dragomir. It's like my head exploded and a little TV show fell out. Check it out, Toon TV.
Are you people satisfied? This gentle visitor is dying. And we'll never even know why he came.
Find us online at remorgradio.com and get your hymns from the House of Horror Volume 2 for a limited time. Because when they're gone, baby, they're gone. Until next time, friends. Adios.
See you later.
And the next thing you know, he had a vagina face and he had a big penis, and the wheelchair was gone.
Damn right.
Oh, if it wasn't Tom Baker, I can't talk about it.